Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, recorded by St. Luke by divine inspiration, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Back in 1986, the Mayo Clinic up here in Rochester, Minnesota, decided to start a new satellite extension of their clinic down in Jacksonville, Florida. And so they started the building and everything, and after about 4 or 5 years, they were starting to get complaints. And the complaints were from people who were from up here in the Midwest who had gone to the Rochester clinic, and they were complaining about the nurses, that the nurses were kind of rough and not as tender and gentle as they had known them to be up here in the Midwest. And they started getting a lot of complaints about this. And so they put out a letter inviting nurses from the Midwest to come down and work at the Jacksonville clinic. One of my members, I was serving a church in Florida, ended up getting one of these letters and showed it to me and thought it was very interesting, that there was something different about the Midwestern mindset as far as taking care of people. A number of years later, I was pastor right here in Mankato, and a man had moved to Mankato from Washington State, out on the West Coast. And he had a condition that required him to go to the hospital twice a year for different things. And I went to visit him one day, and he said the same thing. He said, "I've noticed that there's a difference in the nurses here in the Midwest compared to out on the West Coast." And he said, "I think the reason is because of Christianity. I think the reason is because there are more people in the nursing industry here in the Midwest that have grown up in the roots of kind of the Christian faith and maybe taken that a little bit more seriously." He claimed it was a dramatic difference from what he had seen out on the West Coast. I don't know. It's interesting that the ratio of female to male in the nursing industry here in Minnesota is 14 to 1. 14 to 1. Now, there's there are many wonderful male nurses. We've even graduated some from our program. But there seems to be something that God has specifically designed inside of women that just seems to have a capacity for tenderness and care at a different level and in a different way and a different interest in doing that maybe than you'll find in most men. There's a different sensitivity, if you will, about caring for people's physical needs. The text in front of us takes place in the city of Joppa, which today is called Jaffa, and it's in southern Palestine. It's near Tel Aviv, and it's about the size of Mankato today. We're certainly back in this day, it was smaller than that. And we're introduced to this woman, Tabitha, her name Dorcas or Tabitha. And it's interesting how the Holy Spirit, and we see this often in the book of Acts, just kind of sprinkles in little stories and little names of Christians in the early church and just tells us little bits about them and some of the wonderful things and works that they did. And this is what we hear Luke writing about Tabitha. She was full of good works and charitable deeds. And then when she passes away and Peter comes, the widows from the congregation, it says, the widows stood by Peter weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. She had been used by God to have a real impact on her local congregation, her local gathering of believers in Christ. And she had clearly touched the hearts of many people just by how she went about her life as a Christian. Now, we have to be very clear. Her works, of course, have nothing to do with her status before God. The Bible teaches us that all of our works are as filthy rags by themselves. We could never depend on them for our entrance into heaven. She had been taught and learned, like all true Christians, learning from Scripture, that our hope of heaven is entirely by the grace of God through the work of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He pays for our sins, gives us his holiness, and through faith in him, we have that wonderful hope. And she certainly would have been part of that as well. But at the same time, it's interesting to note how much God loves to observe and put a little bit of a spotlight at times on certain works of individuals in his church. And we see that here with this Tabitha. A Christian congregation is sometimes depicted in the Bible like a body and has a head and has arms and legs, and that the different parts of the body all serve together to take care of each other, Christ being the head. It's interesting, right on our campus right now, maybe even in the gathering here today, some of our athletes we see already wearing boots and on their feet and wearing showing signs of having had knee surgery and things like that. People on crutches, we're seeing that already. Season has just started. And it's interesting that how the human body is, that when one part of your body is hurting, the other parts of your body respond to take care of that and maybe have to limp to accommodate. Your mind is making decisions for the sake of that part that's hurting. And the same is true of the body of Christ. And in a congregation as well, when one member in that body is hurting, everyone hurts. Everyone joins in the prayer for them. Everyone tries to, as best they can, uplift them or family members when they're in a position like that. Now, we certainly know that our gracious God is concerned about our souls and our heavenly welfare. That's what the whole Christian faith is about, isn't it? Is to someday get us out of our graves. And cares about having us know that our sins have all been paid for through Christ and that we have heaven waiting for us. So that's certainly his main and primary concern, is your soul and your heavenly needs. But he has no less concern for our physical needs and the needs of our bodies in this world and in this life. And one of the ways that he provides that special care for us is through the members of his congregations that love each other, and they take care of each other. And talk to the pastors, and you'll find that quite often, just like we see here in this congregation in Joppa, quite often it's women that seem to excel at this gift, that just have a special capacity for going out and taking care of people. When I was pastor of a church here in town years ago, if I heard about somebody that was in need, there was a woman in our congregation that I could call, and she would quietly come to my office, and this was always done in confidence, and I would let her know someone needs help. She didn't even know who it was, and I would say, could you get, if it was a financial need, I would say, can you bring me a gift to bring to them? And within 2 or 3 days, she would show up with $300, $400, $500. She just knew the right people to call. And none of them exactly knew who it was, but every time I did it, she would come back with a gift that I could bring to them to help them in their needs. When our congregation that I belong to invites in new members, there's a special line that I always pay attention to in the little order of service, and it's a question that is asked of the members of the congregation. Do you promise to provide for them, this new members, according to their spiritual and physical needs? And we know this is pleasing to God because St. Paul said this to the churches in Galatia, "Let us do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the household of faith." God wants us to provide special care for those who likewise love this Savior that's going to take all of us to heaven by His grace. Their story concludes with a wonderful little resurrection of Tabitha. And we're not really told much more about her in Scripture. We do know that her heavenly father delayed her entrance into heaven for a specific earthly purpose, possibly to continue providing care in her congregation, that it obviously had had such an impact. And the same is true for you and me as well. God right now has delayed our entrance into heaven. He's made you His child through faith in Christ, cleansed you of your sins, and given you that wonderful future ahead of you. But He has purposefully delayed your entrance into heaven and left you here for now because He wants to use you. And this is one of the ways, even in your congregations, to show love to others. Won't it be nice to finally arrive in heaven and personally be able to go up and thank fellow Christians who helped us out in various situations? I got a lot of people I need to go up and thank. But the question God would have us ask ourselves too is, so who might be coming up to thank me? Who might be coming up to thank you? What a wonderful way God allows us to have these opportunities to show how His great care for us has taken us to that heavenly home. Amen.